Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. While some people lament the era of peak oil, others are rejoicing. These are the scientists, processors, and manufacturers who have immersed themselves in developing alternatives to petroleum and the materials we derive from fossil fuels. These are the pioneers of the new bioeconomy, and they came from across Canada to participate in a biofiber symposium at the Alberta Research Council. This story coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. The majority of products you find on the market today are made from plastics or petroleum-based chemicals and materials. But new technology shows you don't have to use petroleum to make plastic. Plants like flax, hemp, and trees are just a few of the items in nature's storehouse that can provide the necessary building blocks for plastics and other materials. Straw, oilseeds, wood fiber, these are the cornerstones of the emerging bioeconomy. In Europe, for example, many car parts are made from flax. The Alberta Research Council recently hosted a symposium on biofibers. Scientists, farmers, and manufacturers came from across Canada to learn about the latest developments in the field. Dr. Yaman Bolak is with the Bioproducts Program at the Alberta Research Council.
Alberta Research Council play quite a wide range of role from the cultivar and the agricultural side all the way down to the fiber processing, and at the very end, which I am involved, converting them to polymers and chemicals.
What are some of the things that you're working on with flax?
We are working on what we call cellulose-based polymers. Cellulose is a major component of a flax fiber, and it's also very unique because we basically call them very high DP, degree of polymerization, long polymer molecules, which are also means that very unique to process and then make some unique water-soluble polymers and cellulose-based plastics.
How do you do that?
Okay, well, in two stages. The first stage is what we call very conventional pulping stage. My colleague in the fiber processing, Weishut, they produce dissolving pulp, in other words, pure cellulose. And after that, what we do, we make a tweak or we derivatize, make it a sort of man-made polymers. In other words, nature makes the natural polymers, and we modify them and we made them man-made polymers, which are different than the synthetic polymers, because synthetic polymers, you start from the hydrocarbons and all the synthesis processes.
What are some of the challenges that you face right now?
The challenges that we have here is obviously two things. Matching the market needs, the new product development. On the other side, with the raw material, what we are getting in.
When I look back to the last time we spoke about these sorts of things, what progress has been made?
Oh, it's very exciting. I mean, the last time we talked, it was, I think we were just at the beginning. We identified what the product we have to be in after the workshop. And then I am very proud to say that we are in 80% of what we discussed. And also converting them to polymers for the industrial interest, such as polymers for packaging films and other polymer applications for oil field applications, and also some chemicals extracting from the flax or hemp as well.
What are the gaps when it comes to things like infrastructure in order to really make this take off?
To me, the gap is merging the two parts of the industry. One part is the agricultural or forestry, more fiber-oriented, and the other part is the chemical industry, which produce polymers and chemicals, but not necessarily from the natural material, but from the synthetic chemistry.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure again. Hopefully talk to you 2 years after and then get more exciting results.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
That was Dr. Yaman Bolak, a senior scientist with the Bioprocessing and Bioproducts Program at the Alberta Research Council. Another agency that's focusing attention on bioproducts is the National Research Council. Adrian Pilon is the director of the environment sector at the NRC's Biotechnology Research Institute. And one of the projects Adrian's group is involved in is bioprocessing flax straw.
We can develop enzymes, bacterial systems. We can do scale-up because we have a pilot plant. We have this capacity to take it from the raw material. Let's say we have straw from the field. And then we can do enzyme processing to get those fibers cleaner. But to do that, we have to work also with the industry who is actually decorticating. They have the decortication plant. So once it is processed in the field, pre-processed in a plant, then we polish with our biological systems and get those materials, including the fibers, and most importantly, a residue that is called chives, that is 65% of the biomass that goes into any plant at the moment.
But what is chives?
Chives, when you look at a straw, there are two components. First of all, flax in Canada is mostly produced for oil. Canada is producing 25% of the oil in the world, linseed oil, I should say. So once they have harvested the seeds, then the straw are left in the field. Actually, there is an average about from 500,000 to 1,000,000 tons of straw available every year. So this straw is actually partly harvested and processed by a company by the name of Schweizer Motor in southern Manitoba, which is great. They transform, extract the fibers and process that in the States for producing fine papers and so on. However, once the straw is processed, the fiber is about 15 to 30%. And then you got a residue, that is the chive. The chive is the woody part of the straw. And the fibers are just on the external part of the straw. And internally, once the straw gets older in the field, then you get more wood part. So basically that woody part contains different products. And what we are interested in are fibers, first of all. And secondly, processing the chives as a residue, we can extract different compounds, including chemicals that are in there. We are interested in the concept of biorefinery. What we find extremely interesting in dealing with flax and agriculture residues like flax is this is not a dedicated crop. The main focus is to produce the seeds for the oil that goes for different industrial applications and feed and food and all those high-value components. Working with the residues is a very sustainable approach. We're just harvesting a residue and adding value. Actually, the farmers have little options for managing that straw. It costs money to recover that, to harvest and bale it and store it, and we try to avoid burning it. So basically what we are trying to do with the producers, with SASCLASC, with ARC, with different organizations, we're trying to work at developing solutions for valuing that residue. Because compared to other fibers, flax fibers, hemp fibers are extremely good fibers. We can have short to long fibers, which are extremely good in materials.
What stage are we at then in terms of the development of this and the research?
I think we're surprisingly we're quite advanced. I should say in the last 3 years, I think we're working with I would say five provinces. We've worked with different groups putting together a network that is has been recommended for funding by Agriculture Canada, by the way, and it's a regroupment of over 50 organizations. So basically, I can say that in Canada, we have pretty good capacity. We need processing plant, commercial processing plant. There are some pilot processing plant in Ontario, in Manitoba, in Saskatchewan. This just happened within the last couple of years. So it's very interesting to see how it's growing, the interest. people are concerned about the market applications, but we're also working with the construction sector, the transportation sectors, aerospace. So basically to make sure that we know their needs, and then with the research community and with the industrial research community, we develop those products, bioproducts, that will fit their needs in the future.
What are we learning from other countries around the world that are also looking at flax?
We're surprised to see, and not surprised at the same time, to see that other countries are moving quite fast, probably for different reasons, including some incentives or vision, or we can call it different ways. I think in Europe, for instance, there was a major move towards using natural fibers for replacing fiberglass in the car industry. In the very, I would say, in less than 5 to 10 years, the car industry, most of the car producers have included hemp, flax, sisal, fibers that are natural fibers in some or in several parts of a car. So basically, and we see in Netherlands also people developing, building parts that they need not only cover parts, but even columns or structural forms. They need this. They need to have high quality material, and it's very interesting because it's for the car industry. For instance, it's using natural fiber. It reduces the weight of the car, so it reduces the energy consumption and reducing greenhouse emissions, and the process itself is cleaner. So basically, at the end of the day, you have a cleaner process, good production, and so on. It's more sustainable. And so in other parts of the world, I think Europe is very advanced. We see lots of activities developing in India, in Australia, in China, Japan. So the Asian part of the world is pretty active. U.S. and Canada is also very active.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That was Adrian Pilon, director of the environment sector of the National Research Council's Biotechnology Research Institute. He was speaking at the recent Biofiber Symposium hosted in Edmonton by the Alberta Research Council. Along with hemp, flax is gaining a lot of attention from people developing bio-based products. Traditionally grown to make linen, the crop can be used for a lot of different products. That's why Linda Braun calls flax the bioeconomy crop of the 21st century. Linda is the executive director of the Saskatchewan Flax Development Commission.
Simply put, flax is an opportunity to use the complete plant. So if we look at flax from the seed perspective, we can break that up into all kinds of fractions. The most well-known, of course, is the omega-3 oils, and we have the milled flax, we have the whole seed. We can look at it from a human health perspective. We can extract the oils, and we can utilize the meal for the feed component. And then if we look at the straw, we're finding that linseed flax, or oilseed flax as we call it in Canada, has a lot of uses if it's redded and managed properly to work into the natural fibers market. So complete plant utilization, and that's the true bioeconomy, because we're using a crop that we already have in existence, making it even more sustainable by providing more economic returns to farmers and providing a diverse product line for consumers.
Where is flax being grown now?
Saskatchewan currently leads Canada in terms of flax production. There's certainly still production in Manitoba, but Alberta is coming along on board, and we're seeing more acreage devoted to flax in Alberta, and I think there's a huge future here in Alberta for flax as well.
Well, do we really have the weather for flax?
Yes, we do. If we look at the diverse growing regions of flax right now in Saskatchewan, we've always said it was an eastern Saskatchewan crop, but we're looking at it's growing in the northern parts of the province, in the southwest, and with the changing climate patterns, we're finding that flax is being adapted to other regions. And so Western Canada provides us with an opportunity, and when you really look at it, the Peace River region in Alberta, for example, is like some of the regions in Saskatchewan. And we have very good breeders that are looking at shorter season flax. So it's a crop that can be adapted to a large geographical region. The nice thing about flax in Canada is the cooler nights produce that better ALA content. And that's something that the health food industry, which is driving flax, really wants. So we have a natural advantage, if you'd like to say.
What are some of the concerns right now with processing? I understand that redding is a concern.
Redding is certainly a concern. Redding is actually a natural rotting, and what needs to happen is the flax needs to come in contact with the soil. Microbes in the soil then begin to work on it and break down the fiber so that we can separate the fiber from the shive much more easily. I think we would go back and generally say that basic research at the farm level is certainly important. We have three flax breeders in Canada. They've been concentrating on the oilseed component or the seed component of flax. We've just started really to delve into what makes good quality fiber. We know we've have processors here that have been working for 25 years that process and have a certain quality of fiber, but we know that redding is important. We know that we need to get some increased length, and to do that, we need to do some research and development in the practical or the applied side of maybe if we seed it in a different fashion and it makes more consistent straw stalks. We need to look at some of those things that make quality production in the field.
How does this compare then to how other countries are dealing with their flax and the emerging bioeconomies?
Well, in terms of how other countries are dealing with it, it's actually quite interesting because Canada is the only right now major researcher in oilseed flax. And what we're doing is taking a product that has value at the farm gate, value to the whole industry, and adding to that value. So farmers know how to grow it. We just have to adapt some of the agronomic practices a bit. So we're very familiar with the product. Around the world, when we look at other research in terms of flax fiber, it's fiber flax, and we're seeing a big push towards a lot of it going to China. We're seeing much less production in Europe, for example, seeing some less in Egypt. So we're seeing a global shift, and we're seeing much more interest on the global perspective for oilseed flax because Canada is now being recognized. We produce 80% of the seed in the world for flax. Now we're being recognized as a potential supplier for fiber as well.
Thank you very much, Linda.
You're welcome.
That was Linda Braun, Executive Director of the Saskatchewan Flax Development Commission. She presented at the recent Biofiber Symposium in Edmonton at the Alberta Research Council. Well, somebody has to grow all that flax, and you may be surprised to learn there are 22,000 flax processors in Canada. One of those producers is Lyle Simonson. His farm is located near Swift Current in southwestern Saskatchewan. He's been growing flax for 15 years.
Well, it was in a time when we were mainly growing cereals, and at that time cereal prices were so low and we were trying to do some expansion and the cash flow just wasn't there. We were working into a minimum till system, so we needed an oilseed crop in our rotations, and flax was a good fit.
Is it easy to grow?
We find it relatively easy to grow. We usually, or in our area, we have many years where we're short of rainfall or have high heat, and flax seems to be able to stand up to those adversities as good or better than a lot of the other options that we would have had.
Now, you're growing it as part of your rotation, but do you have a market for it?
The seed market is good. I mean, we have marketed our seed into the food processing industries in Manitoba, and just the commercial seed goes to overseas shipments for mostly into Europe. But we're working now in the straw part of it with doing some research projects with Spark and AEGP, and so we're finding some markets now for our straw as well.
What is the straw used for?
Well, the straw that we've we've processed or done the tests on in our area goes to Manitoba. It's put through the plant in Carmen, Manitoba, and I believe most of that fiber goes into the pulp industry.
Do you have to grow a different kind of flax if you're focusing on, say, the fiber versus the oilseed part, or does it really matter?
So far, we've been working just with oilseed flax and trying to come up with a fiber product that we can get from the oilseed flax. There are special fiber flaxes, but very little of that, if any of it, is grown in the province at all.
Tell me a bit about this research project that you're involved in. How long has that been going on?
We've been working with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada and the AEGP, the Agricultural Environmental Group Project, for the last 3 years. Mostly what the project has set up to do is to keep farmers from burning their flax straw in the fall, so we get away from the pollution problems, and to give them an opportunity to find a market for that straw where there is an added value for them, better return to their bottom line.
Are there any concerns, just from the farming and the harvesting point of view? Are there problems in the way that you have to process it, for example, take it off the field?
The harvesting process has been fairly straightforward. We've been doing comparison tests with our machine, which is a rotary machine, a conventional machine that comes from Ag Canada and Swiftcurrent. And for the last 3 years, we've been using a stripper header to leave the straw standing in the fall, and then through the AEGP, they come back later on when the straw is ready to be baled and look after it that way.
Thank you very much, Lyle.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was Lyle Simonson. He grows flax on his farm near Swiftcurrent, Saskatchewan. Reducing our environmental footprint and increasing economic sustainability are two of the major drivers behind the search for bioproducts. Take paper as an example. Do we really need to cut down our natural forests to make pulp when renewable crops like sisal, hemp, cotton, and flax can be used instead? That's a point Ariella Eni wants every book and magazine publisher to hear. Ariella is the implementation coordinator for the environmental advocacy group, Markets Initiative.
Paper is a really high environmental price tag. It is a high carbon and biodiversity commodity, primarily with the use of virgin wood fiber, has really high environmental impacts.
Now, you're here today at this symposium on the emerging bioeconomy and the use of biofibers, and there's a lot of emphasis on the incorporation of flax into paper. Why is your organization interested in flax?
Markets Initiative works with Canada's book, magazine, and newspaper publishers to develop ancient forest-friendly paper policies. And within these policies, we have them include language around preferential interest or demand for papers made with agricultural waste. So as an organization, we have a lot of interest in stimulating the market towards papers made with flax straw or wheat straws to alleviate some of the pressure that we put on our global forests.
And how are the publishers reacting? Are they getting as good a product from these residues?
Well, there's no papers that are actually commercially available here in North America currently. So that's part of our role, is to stimulate both the demand side of the market and also the supply side of the market. And for those papers to become commercially viable, there needs to be some significant infrastructure investment.
You started in the year 2000. It's now 2007. What have you accomplished?
A staggering amount, actually. When we started in 2000, no publishers were regularly, consistently printing on a recycled stock, and there were no available, commercially available, recycled or Forest Stewardship Council certified grade papers. Now, 7 years later, there are over 64 available new eco-friendly papers on the market. There are over 300 book, magazine, and newspaper publishers that have a stated ancient forest-friendly commitment, and a number of printers that stock eco-friendly paper options to simplify the process for publishers that are looking to switch.
I understand you have a Harry Potter connection.
We do. Markets Initiative is really best known for as the organization behind the greening of Harry Potter. As some people may know, in 2003, when Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix was printed, Raincoast Books stepped forward and printed that title in Canada on an ancient forest-friendly stock. In 2005, when Harry Potter 6 came out, 9 countries had followed suit and were printing on an eco-friendly paper. And in 2007, this year, when Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows came out, over 16 countries had followed suit and were printing on an eco-friendly paper.
Well, if the paper's not available in North America, where is it coming from?
Papers made with agricultural residue are currently available in China and India. A lot of their paper basket or their fiber basket does come from agricultural residues. Here in North America, where currently our work is focused so far on supporting publishers as they transition to recycled grade papers or papers made with certified wood fibers. And so as they're currently not available, there are no Canadian publishers that are printing on agricultural residues.
So there's a huge gap. What are we going to do to close that gap?
Well, Markets Initiative is looking to stimulate a lot of the supply side of that market. Through our work, we've already helped to create quite a market on the demand side, and now we're stimulating more of the supply side. So we have a trial project that we have spearheaded with the help of Alberta Research Council on a magazine-grade wheat straw paper here in North America. It will be available, or will be made by the end of 2007, and will be printed on a major North American magazine by spring 2008.
I'll be looking for it on the newsstands. Thank you very much, Ariella.
Thanks very much. We will be too.
That was Ariella Eaney, the implementation coordinator for Markets Initiative. She participated in the recent biofiber symposium in Edmonton at the Alberta Research Council. I also spoke with Lyle Simonson, Linda Braun, Adrian Pilon, and Yaman Bolak. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during the program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our e-newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by the Alberta Research Council, Alberta Ingenuity, the Alberta Heritage Foundation for Medical Research, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, Genome Alberta, the Alberta Conservation Association, the University of Lethbridge, and the NSERC Industrial Chair in Integrated Landscape Management. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.